This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Hello to all the mothers who might be listening, including my own, Anne Nicole Gaylor, President Emerita of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, on this Mother's Day weekend. I'm a mother, too. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. And no, not Mother Teresa, not the Mother of God. They're not listening. We're saluting real mothers in the real world. And I also want to say, Hasa Diga Ibowe. If you listened to one of our earlier shows, you know what that means. Hasa Diga Ibowe. By the way, congratulations to the Book of Mormon. That's the Broadway musical. Leading Tony Award nominations announced this week. 14 nominations, including for Best Musical, Best Book of a Musical, Best Original Score, Direction, Choreography, Orchestration, Scenic Design, Costume Design, Lighting Design, Sound Design, as well as for leading actors Josh Gad and Andrew Rennells, and featured actor Rory O'Malley, and featured actress Nikki M. James.
So if you have a chance, don't miss seeing The Book of Mormon on Broadway. It's an irreverent send-up of musicals and the Mormon Church and evangelism in general by the folks who bring you South Park, and they're both admitted non-theists, and Avenue Q.
And I said Hasa Diga Ibowe, and I'm not going to translate it because I couldn't even translate it on our last show because we can't say that on the air. But if you see the musical, you know what Hasa Diga Ibowe means. Free Thought Radio airs in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Monterey, and New York City for early Sunday morning risers there. And we are, of course, broadcasting through our podcast everywhere.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I'm one of the original three co-founders of that group as a regional group. It went national in 1978, and we now have over 16,500 members in every state, in every Canadian province. And we work for the separation of church and state. We educate the public about non-theism, and we work very, very hard to try to do something about what's happening to our precious wall of separation in this country. So who's joining us today, Dan?
Later in the show, we'll be joined by Ayanna Watson. She's an attorney, and she's an eloquent spokeswoman and the founder of Black Atheists of America. So we're looking forward to talking with Ayanna about her work to promote free thought in the world, but especially in the Black community.
Well, it's the first show of May, and there was a whole lot of government praying going on a few days ago, as you probably all know, that May 5th was the notorious annual National Day of Prayer. A National Day of Prayer.
I thought it was Cinco de Mayo.
And Cinco de Mayo, yes. So I hope you celebrated that one. Declared by Congress annually, requiring the president to issue an annual proclamation exhorting citizens to, quote, turn to God in prayer and meditation in churches, in groups, and as individuals, unquote. And the first Thursday of May is now the National Day of Prayer every year.
And if you're a regular listener to our show, you know that that law was proposed by none other than the Reverend Billy Graham. He wanted to see our country's leaders on their knees praying to Jesus Christ. That was back in 1952. This is all in the congressional record.
And the rationale for the day of prayer was that our founders supposedly prayed when adopting our godless secular constitution at the Constitutional Convention. And of course, regular listeners will also know that FFRF has exposed that lie, that U.S. federal judge Barbara Crabb here in Wisconsin did set the record straight when she ruled in our favor last year that the National Day of Prayer is indeed unconstitutional and enjoining Obama from issuing that proclamation, but setting aside that injunction pending his appeal.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation is currently asking the entire panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago to reconsider that decision in our case. The ruling by a three-judge panel last month threw out our lawsuit, not on the merits, not because it was right or wrong, but they threw it out due to lack of standing.
And so we're challenging that. And the National Day of Prayer, however, therefore went on in full force. Last Thursday, President Obama made an appearance on the National Day of Prayer to lay a wreath at the 9/11 Memorial at Ground Zero.
And by the way, he ended his announcement that the U.S. has assassinated Osama bin Laden with religious remarks. And it's true that our president has free speech rights to say anything he wants, but it was pretty calculated, heavy on religion, and employing the language of the tampered with Pledge of Allegiance. Remember, until 1954, there was no under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's listen to Obama.
Let us remember that we can do these things not just because of wealth or power, but because of who we are. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So,
thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
So, we Americans can do all these things. We can kill bin Laden because of our Pledge of Allegiance?
Well, and even more disturbing were these remarks to elementary age school children last Monday by the First Lady.
Looking out at all of you beautiful children, I can't help but think of all the children and all the families affected by the September 11th tragedy nearly 10 years ago. And they are all very much in our thoughts and our prayers. And we have to keep thinking about them, okay? You promise you'll send prayers out?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, first of all, there were hardly even any 10-year-olds in that audience of tiny children. Why bring up 9/11 to tiny children who can't understand it? And then to tell school children coming to hear a secular First Lady to send your prayers out. This is just not appropriate, you know, just, oh.
And what does that mean, to send your prayers out? What are they supposed to have, these like little magical...
Nothing fails like prayer. What does that accomplish anyway?
These little kids are supposed to like spray the universe with prayer or something? Send your prayers out. Well, now, as we previously talked about on a previous program, we played this overblown militaristic video produced by the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which is the private group which appears to run the National Day of Prayer in the country. It scripts the proclamations. It lobbies the president, governors, and mayors to issue their wording. They choose a Bible verse and they choose a scriptural theme every year. The Freedom From Religion Foundation originally named the National Day of Prayer Task Force in our litigation along with the president and his press secretary because we argued that the government and this exclusionary Christian evangelical work group are working hand in glove together. The National Day of Prayer Task Force put together 30,000 to 40,000 events every year, but to be a volunteer or to work with them, you have to sign a religious litmus test, attesting to your evangelical Christian beliefs and so on. And these events, which are supposed to happen at state capitals and city halls everywhere, are notorious for excluding non-evangelicals like Catholics, Mormons, Jews, and Muslims.
And the theme of the National Day of Prayer Task Force selected for 2011 was A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
That's a hymn, you know, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, which was written by Martin Luther. It's based on Psalm 91:2.
So it really has Christian Lutheran underpinnings.
Yeah, so since they pick an Old Testament verse, I guess Jews are supposed to feel welcome.
But everybody knows it's Martin Luther and it's Lutheran.
And the poster by the National Day of Prayer Task Force has those words really large, superimposed over a stormy sky with lightning bolts and an American flag and the Supreme Court and the U.S. Capitol and the White House.
No, which is ridiculous.
There's this big stormy God coming down. He's a mighty fortress. The poster also shows these hands that are clenched tightly in prayer. And the task force, as always, held its regular event in the U.S. Capitol, inviting the government, the military, and judicial dignitaries. The speakers included Dr. James and Shirley Dobson, Rabbi Daniel Lappin.
And he's trotted out as the token Jew at every one of their Christian Rite events.
Lappin is their Lappin dog. Father Jerome Maggot, that's really his name. Ambassador Raymond Joseph, Senator Elizabeth Dole, Congressman Alan West, Chaplain Barry Black, Justice Paul Newby, Captain Ryan Bolton, Chaplain Brigadier General Howard Stendahl, Vonette Bright, who, by the way, was the person that God told that she should lobby Congress in 1988 and change the floating day to a fixed date every year.
For the National Day of Prayer.
For the National Day of Prayer, the first Thursday in May. Vonette Bright is co-founder of Campus Crusade for Christ and was the first chair of the Evangelical National Day of Prayer Task Force.
Obama, of course, signed the annual proclamation. Now, one thing that, Dan, you and I, we're among the six plaintiffs, can take some pride in is that the FFRF lawsuit, it's now Obama versus FFRF, has really made some big changes in the way that they announce things. Everything is now announced at the last minute or held off for the last week. The National Day of Prayer Task Force used to just list all the governor's proclamations starting, you know, maybe even several months before the date. And it would be like a big list that they would make. And now everything is, they eventually release them, but it's all more stealthy. And at least there have been a few modifications in the way that the president issues the proclamation.
Now, the president didn't include their Mighty Fortress wording, did he? His own proclamation was different.
No, but it was just as offensive as any of them have been. It issued the usual laundry list of things that the president expects citizens to pray about, and that's really a lot of chutzpah. And that looks to me like we have a national religion, and we have pursued many local complaints about the National Day of Prayer. And I should ask Brian how much time we have left in this segment before I continue. We're getting close to the end of the segment, but we've got some bizarre situations. There's Cobb County, Georgia, where the county set up a phone message line with taxpayer resources for the National Day of Prayer. And I just want to skip to what there's a newspaper article that I was sent by one of our members in Ohio. And as I read it, I just could hardly believe what was going on just in one little area in Ohio. First, the newspaper article described the National Day of Prayer as a day set aside to recognize and encourage personal and corporate prayer to preserve America's Christian heritage and emphasize prayer for America and its leadership as defined by the National Day of Prayer Task Force. So
America's Christian heritage.
Then it puts this laundry list out of what's going on in this Ohio area, Milford, Ohio. Last Thursday, there were services beginning at 9 a.m. at the flagpole outside the city municipal building with prayer led by a local pastor and attendees invited to share their own prayers, followed later that evening in Miami Township with a celebration in front of the Milford Junior High School. Trinity United Methodist Church hosted the music and prayer. Now, why didn't they do this in front of a church? And I have to say, we can't stop citizens from meeting in front of a flagpole. We can't stop them from going to their city hall, getting a permit, and having a rally. But what makes these events on the National Day of Prayer different is that they're really government speech. They're really, it's a government holiday or a government proclamation, and therefore it becomes government speech or government-endorsed religious speech. It's not a private event anymore. Then at Clermont County, they held a countywide celebration at noon on the steps of the county courthouse in Batavia, where some of the county's elected officials read Bible verses while pastors prayed for the country, county, military, active, and veterans, police. The annual prayer service included hymns. The co-chair of the county's National Day of Prayer Task Force was County Commissioner Bob Proud. Then his co-chair was talking about how this is a reminder of America's godly foundation. And then they followed all of this with the National Day of Prayer annual pastor's brunch held May 5th on the third floor of the county administration building in Batavia, Ohio. And these pastors then walked down the courthouse for the noon prayer service. Now, what's wrong with this picture?
Well, in America, those people are free to have a church, and churches are free to exist, and they can pray and do whatever they want. But what looks like what they want to do is turn our government into their church. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is leading the fight against this congressional law, exhorting Americans to pray, to set aside day every year, first Thursday of May for this, we have three lawsuits going, and we would love your support for FFRF's legal fund. Pat Robertson's group, the ACLJ, as they call themselves, is engaged in massive robocalls against our lawsuit. They're not even involved in this case except peripherally, but they're raising massive amount of money invoking FFRF's lawsuit. They and the Alliance Defense Fund and other hugely endowed Christian right groups, it's a Christian right defense fund, they've made a lot of money by complaining and invoking FFRF's litigation, far more than FFRF has raised to defend our three lawsuits. We have one in Arizona, one in Colorado, and of course our national case. So if you're not yet a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and you support our very correct challenge of the National Day of Prayer and other legal actions, please join us at FFRF.org.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We'll be right back to talk to Ayanna Watson and have a very short Mother's Day celebration.
Nothing fails like prayer. Nothing fails like prayer. Use your mind and you will find that nothing fails like prayer.
Hi, my name is Dr. Lydia Hartunian from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. Cool.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And we invite you to join us. Become a member. You can find out more at FFRF.org.
Coming up, our guest will be Ayanna Watson, an attorney and founder of Black Atheists of America.
But now we'd like to do a little Mother's Day tribute.
An advertisement, really, for the Women's Medical Fund, P.O. Box 248, Madison, Wisconsin, 53701. And this is a group that was founded by atheists. Who says atheists don't run charities?
It's I've
a 501c3 charity that pays for abortions for women without means. And in Wisconsin, it's based to help women in Wisconsin. We do not have, we have a Medicaid cutoff for women who are poor, who otherwise would qualify for medical assistance. They cannot get abortions covered except in very, very rare instances. And it was co-founded by my mother, Ann Nicole Gaylor, back in the early 70s with Professor Bob West and Peg West. And they were all non-believers. And the board is largely made up of atheists. And we've helped nearly 20,000 women in more than 30 years pay for abortions, largely because of individuals like you who gave money to this charity. And last year, the Women's Medical Fund helped more than 700 women. This year, we've helped over 200, including three 13-year-olds, one who's on the honors roll and will continue on the honor roll thanks to the Women's Medical Fund helping her.
A 13-year-old.
So that she did not have to continue an unwanted pregnancy. My mother, at age 84, is still administering the Women's Medical Fund. She's been administering it for more than 30 years, taking the calls. This is all volunteer. 99% of the money goes to charity. There's a tiny governmental administrative cost these days. And it goes to pay for the abortion after the woman's had it. We know it goes for the purpose. So I want to salute my mother and the feminist foremothers before her who have worked so hard to ensure that women, the Margaret Sangers out there, that women have some dignity and some control of our reproduction and that motherhood is a choice. And in honor of my mother and those women, we want to play a little bit, as we have time, of my mother's favorite feminist anthem, Bread and Roses, and this is your version, Dan.
As we go marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall. The rising of the women means the rising of us all. No more the drudge or idler. 10 that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories. Bread and roses, bread and roses, bread and roses.
Dan Barker's rendition of the famous anthem Bread and Roses. That's available on Friendly Neighborhood Atheist. Happy Mother's Day. And Dan, who do we have coming up?
We're going to talk with Ayanna Watson, who is an attorney. She lives in New York City, and she's the founder of Black Atheists of America. Stay tuned.
This is Dave Carlson in Japan, and I really enjoy Free Thought Radio.
This is Janine Garofalo. Are you tired of right-wing politicians who desperately want to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us? I know I am. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Join the fight and call the Freedom From Religion Foundation toll-free at 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation website at ffrf.org. That's www.ffrf.org. Proud to be an atheist, Janine Garofalo.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
And welcome back to the show. We have on the phone with us from New York City, Ayanna Watson. She was born and raised in Long Island, New York. She attended Brooklyn College. She majored in business management and finance and later got her MBA and her JD at Drake University. She tells us she is passing the bar and is now considered a non-admitted attorney, I guess eager to start practicing. Although Ayanna was raised in a semi-religious household with a deist father and a Baptist mother, she hardly ever went to church. Her parents didn't instill her in any firm religious beliefs. She did, however, go to a few faith-based camps. And during her time there, she sought help from religious leaders in biblical understanding and started to identify herself as a Christian. She attended a Lutheran-based high school where she was required then to study the Bible, and during this time, her studies of Christianity led her to reject the Bible, convert to deism. As an undergraduate, she continued to analyze Christianity and in religion in general, and she realized the impact that religion played in society, particularly in underrepresented communities. She made the leap from deism to atheism. Becoming an atheist, she realized the lack of diversity within the atheist community. That led her to form the organization, Black Atheists of America. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Ayanna.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We've heard a lot about you, and I've seen some of your videos on the YouTube and from your webpage, and so you're making a real impact. Tell us about Black Atheists of America.
Well, Black Atheists of America is an organization that is focused on diversifying the atheist community, in particular, obviously, to make a statement that there are, you know, black atheists. It's still considered an oxymoron, if you will, the term black atheist is still considered an oxymoron among many. So the point of the organization is... that's the first point, is to bring together black atheists and to strengthen the overall atheist community, which sometimes many black atheists may feel neglected. And second, it's to focus on the youth strengthening critical thinking skills in younger at an earlier age. That's something that tends to be lacking in the education in black communities in this country.
And I think that at your website, you point out that there's also religion is deeply ingrained in the black community, so it can be very hard to come out as an atheist if you're a black person. Isn't that right?
Yes. Many of the events in the black community are centered around the church. So it's really hard if you want to be, you know, a civil rights advocate, even though you have the same goals. You know, fighting for equality or whatever it is. Many of these things are centered around the churches in the area. So if you're not a member of a church, then you're kind of an outsider. And the word atheist is so bad that there are times when they don't even want to work with you. So reason I want to work with the black community is to kind of get rid of the stigma in the black community in the Black community that we are, you know, bad, evil people.
Well, we all hear that. Yeah. We all get that.
Yeah, we do.
But
definitely.
But maybe it's there's a little bit more guilt tripping that somehow you would almost be turning your back on civil rights or something if you are an atheist.
Right. I mean, that's a common misconception, too, that there have never been prominent Black atheists who have helped in civil rights during civil rights movements, and that's just simply false.
Well, you know, like W.E.B. Du Bois.
Exactly.
Was non-religious.
Yeah.
Right.
And
like atheism has always been free, you know, has always been there. It's just never been talked about. It's always, you know, and what has been talked about are prominent churches that have been instrumental in civil rights movement. So it's misconstrued, to, you know, that you need religion, and we need that. Had it not been for religion, we would not have overcome many of the things we've overcome.
And I would always have argued if it hadn't been for religion, our society and Blacks would not have had to overcome slavery. I mean,
right.
we fought this bloody civil war because the Bible sanctifies slavery. So
right.
It's a two-edged sword there.
Very much so.
Now, you're very ambitious because you're waiting for the bar. You're going to be practicing law soon as an attorney. But you formed Black Atheists of America while you were in law school. Is that right?
Yes. I started, I guess, the organization itself my last year of law school, and then I didn't actually incorporate until the summer after I graduated.
So you're very ambitious to have found the time
you.
To do that and finish
Barely
up law school.
In there.
I want to ask you something totally different. I mean, this is a little off the topic, but you live in New York City. Have you seen the musical yet, the Book of Mormon musical?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Did you hear that it was just nominated for all these Tony Awards? It's a, you know what it's about, don't you?
Yes.
It's a real hard-hitting criticism of religion, although it's pretty gentle on the actual participants, but it's really hard on the Mormon religion itself.
Well, and Christian imperialism in Africa.
Yeah.
But, well, and then at your website, you have a very nice video kind of welcoming people to the website. And you talk a lot in that video. I was very struck by your language that you're told that it's the blessings of our sky daddy that we've overcome slavery. The success of the civil rights is attributed to this sky daddy. Do you want to talk a little bit more about what you mean?
I use the word sky daddy because throughout history, there have been over 750 million gods that have been worshipped. So I just didn't feel like going through all of them. Here in America, obviously, the main religion in the Black community is Christianity, but that was why I used the term sky daddy. I guess I just wanted to really, in that video, kind of just introduce people to the fact that it was not, you know, due to the fact that these people were ambitious, that they didn't want to live as second-class citizens, that, you know, we all have the same objective, and unfortunately, we're given the credit where it's not due. We should not be given credit to the same entity, if you will, that endorsed slavery. We should be, you know, people are ashamed of saying, you know, we are responsible for our own actions. People aren't willing to take credit for, you know, these things. They feel that they have to give credit to some higher being or something else other than themselves. So it's kind of what I was trying to get at in
now,
the video.
What kind of reception have you gotten, has Black Atheists of America gotten? And I mean, are you getting feedback? Are you getting, you know, are religious people shocked? Or are you getting a lot of support? How's it going?
I'm getting very positive feedback for the most part. Every once in a while, I get a couple of, within the atheist community, I get mostly positive responses. Every once in a while, I get people that are confused as to why I have this segment, you know, specifically that I, you know, why do I specifically address Black Americans? But for the most part, positive feedback in the atheist community. As far as I've gotten a lot of negative attention too, maybe from Christians that are basically making the same argument that, you know, had it not been for Christianity, we would not have overcome it. And I try to encourage them to read history, to at least study religion outside of Christianity. But I have made some, I guess, leeway or some, I guess, I don't know. I've made, I'm sorry.
Some headway, maybe.
Headway, there you go. with some of the, with some theists, but they tend to be very progressive theists anyway. And you'll see these people like kind of participating in humanist events and stuff like that. But I'm just getting started, so yeah. I expect to be much more successful.
But things are changing rapidly in America. I mean, there's so many more non-religious people of all races and ethnic groups, and the American Religious Identification Survey, which, you know, first came out in the 90s, had us at like, what, 9%? And now it's 14, 15, 16%. And this 2008 survey had black atheists, or non-religious, they called it, at 10%. I mean, that's a pretty sizable chunk, don't you think?
It is.
And
I'm glad to see that.
Very close to the national average. And as a lawyer to be, I wonder if you were struck, as I have been struck, by how important black Americans have been in forging important Establishment Clause law. You know, Alton Lemon got us the Lemon Test. And Ernie Chambers took the challenge against legislative prayer, and Ishmael Jaffrey won a lawsuit
in Alabama
at the Supreme Court level against, you know, prayer for meditation for prayerful reasons. I mean, so there's a lot of contributions just in the law from African Americans in this country, and I don't think that has been adequately understood or recognized.
It usually isn't. I mean, it usually isn't. A lot of our in my experience and speaking with other black atheists, it's something that's really just not talked about in our schools. And I mean, I was very privileged to be able to go to private school and to even though it was a Lutheran-based school, we did have people of different religions that attended the school, and that's kind of, that helped. But in deeply, and I guess even in public school, but in schools that are in, you know, very underrepresented areas, I mean, we still have, they're not really teaching, they're not really, I guess, helping with, the, you know, embracing critical thinking in these schools. They're not really teaching history, as far as black history in these schools. It's just, I guess there are so many different facets that aren't really touched on in our education that I kind of would like to bring to light.
Don't you think that the main advantage that religion had during the Civil Rights Movement wasn't it some intrinsic superiority of Christianity, but just the simple fact that they had buildings. They had places where people could meet together and congregate.
Safely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even a cover.
Right.
It was acceptable to be religious. It was acceptable to worship the white God and Jesus and everything. And so,
right.
Of course, it provided, I mean, it's, and we should be grateful for that. But
it was like a watering hole or a water cooler where people could come together and congregate. Yeah.
Right. It was the only time that they were, exactly, it was the only time they were left alone. And again, it's but it's not looked at that way, I guess, when it's taught. It's looked at, well, you know, it was religion instead of it was a meeting place.
Yeah. And I've even had this at the Freedom from Religion Foundation, because we do so much state church work. I've had, you know, we get a lot of crank mail, and I've had people email and say, well, how can you support a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. when he, you know, because it's a religious holiday? And, you know, I don't normally answer crank mail, but, you know, if they're not abusive, I do answer this one. And I say, this isn't a religious holiday. This is a recognition of a great civil libertarian. And that law is not to recognize him as a minister or for being religious. That law is to recognize all that he accomplished. So even there,
right.
We get this sort of, you know, manipulation,
we
misunderstanding.
We have to take a break, but I have a question I want to ask you about how we can increase diversity within the atheist community when we come back. So stay with us. We're talking with Ayanna Watson, who is the founder of Black Atheists of America.
This is Lee Parks. I'm from Apple Valley, California, and I'm a lifelong freethinker.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
And we're talking with Ayanna Watson. I called her Ayanna accidentally earlier. Ayanna Watson, who is the founder of Black Atheists of America. And her website is blackatheistsofamerica.org. And I wanted to ask you, Ayanna, I know race really shouldn't be relevant. I mean, people should be recognized for their accomplishments and their actions and that. But if you do want to, if a group like ours or the atheist community, whatever that means, wants to increase diversity of all types, what are some of the things we can do to be more attractive to a more diverse population?
Well, the first thing is to, and not to sound cruel or anything, is to get rid of this idea of trying to debunk a social issue with a biological argument. I mean, racism exists. Race, as far as a social construct, exists in this country, and it's detrimental. So I think one of the problems that I've come across is people like, oh, well, you know, race doesn't matter and blah, blah, blah. No, it does matter in this country and socially. So I think recognizing that race exists as far as, you know, socially speaking, is the first step to overcome it, or the first step to reaching out to other members of the community. Stating that you recognize that they have special needs and concerns would be the first obstacle to overcome. So there are other segments. I mean, I'm also... my grandfather was from Costa Rica. I didn't really address, I don't think I'm the best person to deal with the issues of the Hispanic community, but they're also very closely tied to Catholicism in this country, and recognizing their specific needs and interests is something that you can do in that community as well. So I don't think there's anything wrong with targeting particular segments, because at the end of the day, it creates a stronger overall atheist community. Because right now, we're largely, the atheist community is considered the face of atheism, I should say, is white male. And a large segment that could be used for support is not represented. It's not, you know, active.
You know,
and would like to be active.
I do have to say, I've seen some of this pushback. We have a bus ad campaign. Actually, we have bus ads up now in Washington, D.C., and among them featured is Butterfly McQueen, who was a lifetime member of FFRF, and you may know her as Prissy in Gone with the Wind, which was a terrible role, but she was very good actress who was typecast as maids. And she said, as my ancestors are free from slavery, I'm free from the slavery of religion. It was remarks she made to the Atlanta Constitution, and we put her picture and this on a bus. And when we ran this a year ago in Chicago, the TV footage, there were people on the street, and some of the, it was especially black women who were religious, who were interviewed, were claiming that we were unfairly targeting the black community in Chicago by putting up this sign. Now, I felt it was very good outreach, but it was like, oh, you know, how dare we try to bring atheism to the black community? So, I mean, we're trying and need to try a little harder, but I mean, beautiful ad.
I appreciate it. And I've, received, I think it was, did you have one in Jersey too?
We did have some billboards up in New Jersey, including Butterfly McQueen in Trenton.
Okay, yeah, because I received some emails about that from other black atheists that were very happy to see it.
I know the black atheists are, but I was getting this, I pick on the black community in Chicago with this ad campaign.
Well, as if we are just a white group, and that's all we have to be, is a white group, right? Atheists can't be anything other than white men, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that is the stereotype, isn't it? So,
and there, I'm sorry, I was just going to say that there are also efforts to bring out more women because we're also underrepresented. So
yes, we are.
I think it's a good thing.
Well, diversity is a wonderful thing. And so what are the goals? Do you have any, like, I think you were saying that you're going for a 501c3 status, and then you're probably going to try to get membership going.
Right. I can't send you money yet, but you'll let us know.
But people can go to the website and find out more right now. But are there some short-term goals that you've got for Black Atheists of America?
Yes, right now we're building our, we have two programs. One is an after-school program that we're building, which is going to focus on critical thinking among kids up to probably third grade, from maybe first to third grade. And that's probably going to be based here in New York. And our second program is called Science Cubed. We're a little bit further with that one because we did find another organization. I don't remember their name, sorry. But where they we're going to be donating supplies basically to science programs to help the teachers better teach. So some of them have outdated textbooks or outdated supplies and stuff like that. Instead of giving money, we're going to give the actual supplies directly to the teachers. And there's a program already out in California where they receive donations like this. So we're working with them right now. They're a public school. They work with public schools specifically.
So that's a very charitable enterprise and very important, especially with over 50% of the U.S. population rejecting evolution.
Right.
So
we've been talking.
Thank you.
Talking with Ayanna Watson, the founder of Black Atheists of America. Her website is blackatheistsofamerica.org. And this is some of Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tchaikovsky was gay. Toward the end of his life, he became more agnostic. Thank you, Brian Tarani, for engineering and producing the show. Great, as you always do. If any listeners want to hear these shows or archives or podcasts, go to our website at ffrf.org.
And you can learn more. You can join Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. You can support our broadcasts, our podcasts, our litigation, our very important work to educate about non-theism in North America. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us. And the world will live as one.
You promise you'll send prayers out?
Yeah.
All right.